So Carolyn is working on an article. Ina has assigned her to spell out what she's learned about how to treat cancer. And that leads into a bunch of questions as Carolyn tries to get her knowledge refined.
I'm just looking at my hypothesis for the answer to cancer. So it's called The Answer to Cancer, and the first introductory sentence is, cancer has reached epidemic proportions, and we have not found an overall mechanism to explain it nor to treat it. Introduction. Cancer develops at the cellular level. Therefore, the best treatment would be directed at that level to create a microcellular environment that keeps the cells in physiologic balance. What is it that cells are missing that sends them on an errant path? Until we know if there is something specific or specifically missing, we should supply the cells with cellular nutrients and oxygen. Epigenetics has placed needed emphasis on the role of the cellular environment in which genes function. Epigenetics informs us that the soup in which our genes swim is as important as the gene-based pairs themselves. Hypothesis. By using the correct formulation of something as simple as modified lactated ringers, we can begin to enhance cellular dynamics. The modification in ringers would be to add magnesium, lower the sodium, use angstrom-sized minerals, and infuse along with D5W. Minerals provide the electrical conductivity of the cells. As we learn that cells are not controlled by lock and key mechanisms, but by electrical impulse, then minerals should be our focus. Physicists have identified the mineral ion channels as being 4 to 5 angstrom in diameter. Therefore, the best absorption at the cellular level occurs using angstrom-sized minerals. One of the current formulations of lactated ringers is as follows. Sodium chloride, 600 milligrams. Sodium lactate anhydrous, 310 milligrams. Potassium chloride, 30 milligrams. And calcium chloride dihydrate, 20 milligrams.
Is that per 1,000 milliliters?
Sorry, very good. Per 100 mils, 1 liter. Less than a liter, 100 mils.
Okay.
Tiny amount.
Okay.
I'll double check that, but I think that's what I copied over. I propose each 100 mils of lactated ringers injection, USP, contains, so instead of sodium chloride 600, I put 300, and I kept the sodium lactate the same, potassium chloride the same, calcium chloride the same, and added magnesium chloride 20 milligrams, which is the same amount as the calcium chloride 20 milligrams.
I mean, is that enough? Or you're getting the base, and then you can adjust.
Correct.
Depending on what it is.
I don't want to freak them out with. And that then I started in, and I started on the H3O2, and I just put, for the oxygen component, I propose H3O2. This is H2O enriched using monovalent hydroxyl ions that can be administered through a nebulizer, but then I started to look into it more and realized, well, gosh, you know, I don't think it's an oxygenation component. It may be working as this hydroxyl ion.
That's correct. It's exactly right. And so it is a true statement, but not true every single time. So that's right. Good.
So I'm going to have to work more on the H3O2 to bring that in there because...
Well, can't you make it a bit generic and leave them asking, but place it? You don't have to explain every dynamic regarding it, do you? Or, now, you can. I'm not fussing. Mm-hmm. I'm just asking, can you leave it a bit generic to make a mask?
Yes, I could say that it is a known... H3O2 is a known purified water substance and has natural, what they call detergent properties, but I'll have to get some wording on that.
You're talking about the gene scrubbers?
I don't know gene scrubbers, but the OH radical makes it a detergent.
You will.
Okay, I'll look at gene scrubbers, okay?
We haven't invented it yet.
Well, that's what we're doing. I mean, we're scrubbing this chromosome
right.
14.
Right. And in a sense, now, when the geneticists get through with it, it would be nothing short of a debreeding process mm-hmm. of the activation of singularity within chromosomal 14 attributes that create the anomalies that give your words validity.
A debreeding process, so you mean it's cleaning up the anomalies of chromosome 14?
Yes, and pinpointing them as to being the concludable answer after you've exposed or debreeded the anomalies within chromosome 14 itself. But you also, that's another one, you don't have to give that away, but just so mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, it's good to know what we're about. And yeah, that's what Bob and I were talking about today, that it's like it is cleaning up that chromosome. Like Bob was asking me, well, what does this process do? Does it kill cancer? And I said, no, it stops it from replicating probably because it kind of fixes up chromosome 14. Is that true?
No, it activates it.
But activates it to be normalized.
Well, what's normal? If it's activated, then it's naturally doing its DNA receptors through the RNA to a change. Mm-hmm. Now, you add a human creator to that process, and it can activate replication of cancer cells and or lower all the way to spinal meningitis if you really want to go that far, but more from the standpoint of activating it so it can naturally extend the arms or wrap in the coil one way or the other. Well, in one way or the other, either way, it becomes the process of activating its natural RNA capacity to divide and or sprout off. That's the next tier or level that no one is speaking of. Now, they speak sometimes of the rare odd anomaly of an extra half or an extra chromosomal polypeptide variation, but never that everyone has that capacity. All we were doing was cleaning up the activation of what's going on, and that was just that. That this process that you're laying out in your hypothesis is discoverable by the obvious. You don't see it as an anomaly, but they would, of chromosome 14 itself. And the inferences that have been understood regarding chromosome 14, you're saying there's more there than you've bumped into yet. Mm-hmm. And that's why your application of this tactile process cleans up that in tandem.
When you said it's not fixing chromosome 14, it's activating it, then the activation is to activate the natural function of chromosome 14.
Correct. And you're pointing out that there's a function of chromosome 14 that they've not even touched yet. That's good because that makes it very different because they're like, chromosome 14, what the hell are you talking about? Chromosome 14 does the same thing chromosome 12 mm-hmm. or 11 or mm-hmm. 20, whichever. And you go, no, 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 no. Everything comes back to that point of connection.
And when do I point that out? Because as far as I know...
They ask you.
Oh, right, right. So they'd be asking, well, how do you know this is going to work? And I would say to follow
what about
chromosome 14.
And what about this? What about this that you're describing makes it workable? If H3O2 would do it through your lactated Ringer super solution, how would that have any effect at all on the cellular structure of the genome? And you go, well, that's simple. It's through chromosome 14. And they go, what? And then you just leave them hanging because you're putting the words out so no one can get after it. You're putting it out. But you don't have to be type specific with it.
Okay.
No time, see? Mm-hmm. But they're going to chew it up. But now, And they go, what does RNA have to do with anything? The RNA is what has to do with everything.
And how are we going to affect the RNA the same way?
That is what completes or connects the activation of chromosome 14. What is the RNA? It's the acid that speaks to those chromosome polypeptides that make the double helix even available for the geneticist to see what's even taking place.
Well, that's for every chromosome, though.
That's correct, but when you do it with chromosome 14, that's when you start seeing not the killing of cancer, but the, basically the eradication of the replication of it, because everybody's got cancer cells.
Is this treatment just type-specific for chromosome 14, or is it going to heal up the anomalies and all other chromosomes?
Nothing's wrong with all the other chromosomes. All you're trying to do is activate chromosome 14, and it'll naturally take care of all anomalies.
Mm.
No other anomalies are found in the other chromosomal pairs.
But they say there are. They say there's lots of different anomalies on different chromosomes.
Good. Good luck with that. You see, you get 14 straightened out, and all those others straighten themselves out because they now opened up a way for it to split. And when it splits, then the information flow, the chromosome that's responsible for conveying information to the cells at the cellular level through the RNA is empirically through chromosome 14. And every other anomaly you may notice will dumbfound you because you're like, okay, it's different. Okay, great. What's different? Well, I don't know. Well, it's just different. And blah, 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 you see.
When you split that, so are we creating two chromosome 14s?
No, you're going to create two paths for chromosome 14 to have RNA receptors to speak to all of the other double helix. Remember, we had the arms and the rings, and that division, that dividing or separating or allowing duality within chromosome 14 will divide that helix, remember? Well, in dividing that helix, now you have two pathways for RNA to attach or communicate, if that's the way you'd like to use the word, to all of the genotypes of all the chromosomes.
Hey, Carol. You were explaining this to me last on the beach today, coming home, and you got the basic picture. The broken arm of the chromosome, does I agree that that's the damaged thing?
Nothing damaged. This is the communication. It's making a connection. And some are in a circle and some are in an arm. And those extension of those arms can split the helix of a double helix, making four spires, which are two double helixes. That's just two paths to allow RNA to have causal interaction with all the chromosomal strands.
So this idea that the arm is broken and that's what is a problem is not the way to interpret that.
Well, it's okay to, if you want to go at it that way, but we're saying rather than it being broken, you're just opening another line of communication. And with another line of communication, sometimes you can get to a place very quickly to where you have a broader allowance of information at the cellular level that eradicates it from that place of just a correction or making a clear connection. But if you make a clear connection, then you don't have the anomaly of a cancer cell replicating. And now there's nothing to heal or repair or undo. This is a matter of creating a pathway or connection that ceases the anomaly, which to us is cancer itself.
Gee, I don't know what the role of the arm is. So do you, Carol?
It's the only chromosome that so far, well, it is the only chromosome that has an anomaly in and of itself. It can have arms or rings.
Okay, and what's that got to do with the cancer process?
It's where the RNA can communicate at a cellular level so it won't replicate the cancer cells.
It's through the chromosome 14, because it's unique, that this communication can take place.
Yes, and how, what communicates with DNA, RNA.
So the RNA does clear communication, so you need to activate the chromosome 14 or something?
You have to register the connection, and that's done through Carolyn's lactated ringer treatment.
They register the connection. That doesn't mean reconnecting.
No, it registers the connection that's already there. Then you have two possibilities. One possibility is extends the arms that are already there, and if it does that, then you have a split. Then it becomes a polypeptide configuration, meaning two sets of double helixes.
Why are we describing that?
Because that's how you reach blood level cancers and muscular dystrophy. And
you reach them by creating that situation with the double helix split.
Because the RNA can have two pathways to reach.
This thing you're describing, this is good, as opposed to bad.
Yes, that's delicious.
Carolyn, you heard it. Yeah. He just described, when you put the lactate ringers in, this whole thing he just said is what happens. It does it naturally, but you intensify its action.
You make more arms, in a sense, to do more work.
At the cellular level. I mean, you can put a million of these on the pinpoint of a pencil, Bob. So this is tiny, tiny, tiny. And so if you could go at that tiny, tiny, tiny level and allow communication at that cellular stage, it can instantly wipe out or undo or cease the replicating cancerous cells at all levels, whether it be a melanoma, whether it be a leukemia, whether it be
fine. So, Carolyn, that spelled out for the first time what's going on?
Yeah, it's getting clear.
So that function of splitting, which is what the chromosome 14 does, that does it. But you're going to take that unique function and enhance it so that it can...
You allow it.
So it can reconnect what's been disconnected.
No,
is it a connecting function?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
But we're just trying to leave off, you're broke, and this is how to fix you. That's all. We're being careful with our words.
We're doing that.
All you're doing is activating it.
Activating the connectingness.
A line of connection so that the RNA receptors can do what they naturally normally do anyway.
When you get cancer, the RNA can't do what it's doing naturally.
No, it's doing, but it's replicating cancerous cells.
Okay, so this thing...
Malignant.
This replicating is the key word there. We don't want to replicate, so activate chromosome 14 arm or circle, and it won't replicate?
Correct.
So it does what it does, but you don't want it to replicate. It gets stuck, and it starts replicating, and it's like wheels turning in the dirt or the snow. So then you stop that by bringing in the lactate ringer.
Mm-hmm. And then once you add extra, we kind of set it like the debreeding process of that process within that chromosomal position. But anytime you do that, it allows chromosome 14 to do its thing, either ring or branch. We say ring it or branch it. If you branch it, then you have two double helixes.
If you ring it, what happens there?
Well, it just basically closes itself, and then the cellular level that is won't replicate cancer cells anyway, at any level.
And all that you described was activated by the lactate or something.
Yeah, lactated ringers, yeah. Carolyn, this goes all the way from prostatitis all the way into lumps in the breast. We mentioned the Coleman business, but even lymphomas of all degrees, too.
Well, you said everything except a few things that it doesn't, so yeah, it doesn't.
That's very significant at this degree. Now, your place with the individuals, it's not an invasive process. It
no.
doesn't make you sick. So you can watch the cellular reconstruction, or not deconstruction, but reconstruction as far as how they're replicating, and adjust your lactated ringer treatment, or if that's what you want to call it, based upon how the individual bodies are responding. Mm-hmm. But even at the most baseline level, you'll see a huge shift within a few days.
Now, back to the ring. The ring is an anomaly that occurs in some people, and it causes the cancer. What's the difference in the ring that's formed with the lactated ringers?
Okay. Well, it doesn't form a ring. If it is ringed, it just debrides it, scrubs it, as you're saying it, from the detergent value, deterrent, mm-hmm. Detergent, an agent that deters replication of what you're calling cancer or malignancies within a cellular strata. And the arms are separate. But are you not asking about that? Or are you
just about the ring? I'm wondering how the ring, which creates cancer, is changed to a ring that doesn't create cancer.
Okay, because of the debriding process. The ringed balance won't replicate those deter agents because of the activation of RNA within the ringed chromosomal 14. Is aperture the correct word? There's a specific genome word they use for aperture within the cellular strata. You know, that's your world, of the DNA and then the RNA, the RNA acid, how it communicates. Mm-hmm. That's what allows someone to activate cancer cells they have to replicate, and what allows other folks to remiss, maybe forever. But it's not an answer. It's just a suspension, where this would actually, through a debriding process, the ringed chromosome 14 debrides it, exposes it for your lactated ringer solution to conform the cellular structure with communication through the RNA that those cancer cells, we don't normally like it that way, but we'll give it to you that way. Don't use it in your paper this way, but just know it. A cancer cell, it doesn't kill it. It doesn't replace it. It just suspends it to the point that it does not replicate itself. That's in the ringed position. And either way, your gene structure, your cell, doesn't know the difference in a cancer cell and a regular healthy cell. That's why the cancer has a propensity to take over.
So there's lactated ringers. I would think that the H3O2 is the gene scrubber more than the lactated ringers.
But that's just your delivery system.
Is the H3O2 the scrubber, or is everything the scrubber?
No, H3O2 is the debrider.
So H3O2 is the debrider scrubber. Is it because of the OH hydroxyl radical?
RNA thinks so. You're going into a little place that folks haven't been before. You won't have a job proving that. It'll just be. And while it's just being, they'll say, well, damn, I don't know how this works, but it does. Mm-hmm. So you're going, crap. Okay, mm-hmm. Good. Congratulations.
There must be something going on at the helix where they're...
The helix is what we're talking about with the RNA interaction at the cellular level anyway, is it not?
Well, what I'm saying is it must be something at the helix level that's like, is it like free radicals hanging around that the OH grabs off?
No, because free radicals at the cellular level would be giant compared to the chromosome.
Yeah.
You know, we're not talking about candida in the gut. We're talking about at the cellular level strata.
So are you going to be able to tell me what the OH does at the...
Yeah. What do you want to know?
What is the mechanism by which the hydroxyl radical scrubs the genes?
The H3O2, and applied in your solution, your super lactated ringers.
So now, we're still talking about nebulizing it, or are we going to be injecting it?
Both. See, because remember we had the issue, some can't do it that way, and then we even set up a tub of water.
Right, okay.
See, we're not limiting it, because it's got to work every single time without failure exception, or it may not work at all. Now, the H3O2 is the extra hydrogen. What does hydrogen do? The binding oxygen, which actually congeals, is what water is, at the chemical strata of water. H3O2 is the extra particulate of hydrogen, just like when you're creating, like in peroxide, you add the extra oxygen of H2O2. Mm-hmm. That makes a different entire element, but it's still water-based, but it has the extra oxygen. Well, by adding the extra hydrogen, you supersaturate the molecule itself, so it literally would become practically what you would describe as super water. Mm-hmm. Well, super water would hydrate at a much fuller capacity, and with the extra hydrogen, then you have basically the polypeptide bands at the genome structure actually doubles, literally, physically doubles the rate of RNA interaction within the entire cellular strata or structure. So that's what the hydrogen element does. Just as the formulary goes, it doubles the RNA's capacity for natural cellular replication. Now, your lactated ringers then activate your chromosome 14, which that takes care of any anomalous cell. And so this gets larger than cancer, but we didn't want to tell you that just because we wanted to stay focused. But just like certain drugs or things, different processes have other outcomes that are significant for humans, you're going to find lots of anomalies get cleaned up a bit. I mean, Jerry Lewis is going to be very tickled or pissed that he wasted a couple of $1 billion trying to figure out something so easy a caveman could do it. But don't present it that way. Let that be the surprise.
You didn't interrupt me when I read out my words, so are you saying those words are okay?
No. The first part, you've got to lay it out. Okay, so before the hypothesis, it's a bit preachy, meaning that it's setting up of how you've all lost it up until now. Mm-hmm. Let's open it up from a dynamic of this particular delicious, well, not delicious, that's our words, but this process is the missing link to all of your research and or experimentation so far. This is what you're overlooking. Mm-hmm. And this is what you've noticed, and therefore your hypothesis is, which was perfectly fine, and then what you're going to do about it, and then your point, 3 points, and a point. Thesis 101. Mm-hmm. Your structure is good. Read that first part again, and then we'll tell you exactly the point that we would like.
Well, when I read that first sentence,
well, that's the one.
That's the only thing to remove. Yeah,
well,
cancer has reached epidemic proportions, and we have not found an overall mechanism to explain it or to treat it. I can just kill that sentence.
Good. And you can replace that with, as we discussed it there, that the cancer understood clearly at the cellular and subcellular level is clearly eradicatable. Damn, that's pretty pointed. Wow, holy crap, there may be a better word there, but that's what we're saying.
I don't even know if eradicatable is a word.
Well, if it's eradicatable, then don't know why. And there may be another word, but see, that statement all of a sudden makes the anomaly that's not anomalous. Cancer is not the trouble. It's the activation of chromosome 14 that hasn't been allowed is the trouble.
He says it's not the cancer, it's the chromosome 14.
Uh-huh.
So what is it about the chromosome 14 that gets out of control or something? That's the problem.
It's the anomaly within chromosome 14 is what limits, not eliminates, but limits RNA within the gene. structure to replicate.
It limits its replicating ability?
Well, no. It lets cancer be reproduced rather than healthy normal cells be reproduced.
It gets confused about its job.
It does its job, but it'll promote cancer as well as healthy cells.
What causes that problem?
The interaction with the RNA through chromosome 14.
What causes that interaction to malfunction?
It just says reproduce. It's like putting
up. The RNA says replicate. Like, what's the it? It?
It is a cancer cell. Put a cancer cell in the copy machine and hit print, and it makes another cancer cell. Another cancer cell.
But the cancer tells the RNA or the
chromosome 14? No, the cancer is the outcome. RNA communicates at the subcellular level what the DNA is. Is it a cancer cell or is it not? Well, they would run a DNA test, and if they looked at the RNA, they could pinpoint what Kell would call the anomaly or the cancer cell. Well, the body, chromosome 14, just copies, 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 copies. DNA sets that what it is. That's why they look at the DNA and say, oh, you're going to have heart disease. You're going to have
heart disease. Just trying to get the A touches B touches C.
Okay, that is.
There's something, chromosome 14 replicates cells.
Yeah.
Okay, it replicates cells.
That's the cellular
It replicates cells.
You've got to get it right if you're going to get it simple.
Yeah, no, I'm just trying to get it general. Cal can get the details. Chromosome 14 replicates cells. What is the problem when cancer shows up?
Cancer cells are replicated.
Why are they replicated?
Because that's what chromosome 14 does, is it replicates cells.
Is it a problem that chromosome 14 is replicating everything?
Well, until you get eat up with ass cancer and can't, you know.
Come on, no. The chromosome.
Come on. That's what it's about. That's what it's about.
No, it doesn't make sense in my terms, and it's just trying to figure out.
Is it just chromosome 14 that replicates cancer cells?
It's just chromosome 14 that replicates every cell.
And a cancer cell comes along and it replicates it. And,
right.
And that's not a problem from chromosome 14 to replicate anything that shows up.
That's exactly right.
Okay, so where does the cancer cell come from before that?
Cancer cells comes from the RNA.
So there's the malfunction. So what's going on in the RNA? Nothing to do with the
RNA. So you have a slippage or an anomaly or sometimes through introduction of something else, and the RNA picks that new contrast up and says, okay, we have assimilated this in our system, so we replicate it, and it makes a cell.
Okay, so what did I get from this? The RNA does preliminary gatekeeping. Does it reject anything?
No.
Chromosome 14 doesn't reject anything. The RNA doesn't reject anything.
Yeah, no, RNA tells it what to copy.
Tells who, the chromosome 14?
No, tells the DNA.
Of any cell?
Of any cell.
It tells it to copy.
Yeah.
It wouldn't copy unless RNA told it. So that means RNA is part of the copying mechanism.
It's the copy that you put in the copy machine at the cellular level to what kind of cell it's going to be.
It's the copy you put in the thing to print. It's the original one? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
It's a conscious. It says, okay, I'm going to offer myself, and then you guys follow suit. And replicate yourself like I'm going to do it myself.
Boom, 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 boom.
Okay, so we don't know where the problem comes in. Where the thing called cancer, where's the problem begin?
From the body's assimilating, the body assimilates in a condition called living. Anything that it picks up.
Okay, what creates a cancer cell?
Well, if you'll stop a minute.
No, are you
wearing
that? Just relax.
An anomaly. You go sit in flour. You know what flour is? The white powdery stuff? You go get in a tub full of flour and roll around in it. Flour has been introduced into your strata. Okay? Now, that's not a problem. That's not a problem. But let's say it offers a new environment in your system. Then it could pick that up. That's why some people who have issues with
chromosome 14 replicates every cell. So the question is, doesn't every chromosome replicate cells?
No. Every cell is made up of those chromosomes.
Right.
So if every cell is made up of all the chromosomes, how could you possibly have a different or variegation of a cellular structure? And that's done only through interaction with RNA through chromosome 14.
So chromosome 14 is in charge of all cellular replication.
And changes of cellular replication. That's why we started that with day 8.
Changes in cellular replication. So that's, Bob, where if there's a change in cellular replication caused by some sort of anomaly, like an allergen or like a this or like a that, then the cells start growing anomalously and look like cancer cells.
Yes, and we have one for Bob that may actually help. Okay, Bob, let's say hairspray. Do you know what hairspray is?
Yeah.
What they do now is they take rats. And they spray them with hairspray, okay? They add hairspray to rats. And what they watch in the rat is to see the RNA in the cells of a rat, if it picks up the hairspray, changes the cell to create cancer cells in the rat. So it picks it up, the hairspray, the RNA tells chromosome 14, okay, add a little hairspray.
You know, that's it. Tells the RNA what?
Tells the RNA there's a new part, particulate, communicating this thing, if you call it hairspray. It picks it up and then replicates that cell with hairspray in the RNA communication. When it hits chromosome 14, then that could cause cancer cells to produce.
Why?
Reproduce.
That point. Why did it cause?
Because hairspray added to the RNA could cause an aberration in the cellular replication.
So you're just saying a stranger shows up in town and people get agitated?
Pretty much, yes. And that might give rats cancer. And if it gives rats cancer, then they call hairspray a carcinogen. Did you get that?
I don't know. I don't. Here's what I need to get. I want to know where it starts and where it ends. And who does what along the way?
Well, we've done that already.
Well, I don't think it's clear to Carol and I. So who cares if we did it? It's whether we get it or not.
I get it, Bob. The RNA picks up a substance and then registers it. And then when...
Has no problem with it.
No, I don't know. But then when it goes to chromosome 14, which is the replicator...
And has no problem with it and replicates it.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the problem aspect that they're not noticing?
The malignancy within the cellular structure... That's replicated through chromosome 14.
The malignancy of the hairspray.
Malignancy of the cancer cell.
We're trying to find out where a cancer cell begins. Where, what causes
RNA speaking through chromosome 14 shifts cells. The shifting of cells can make cancer cells two kinds. You have malignant or benign.
The RNA can shift cells into cancer cells?
Yes, in two kinds, malignant cancer cells or benign.
Well, just do you think the RNA, is it something like along the base pairs,
yes.
The substance of the hairspray pushes one of the base pairs out of the way and causes it to look different?
Maybe it adds an extra dynamic, but we know that any outside thing that you do doesn't necessarily... cause a cancer, okay? It does.
Yeah, what causes the cancer?
So I'm saying, does the spray push aside the base pairs to cause the anomaly?
It doesn't quite. It allows the RNA, which is the communication within the strands that are set, when the RNA reaches chromosome
when the RNA and the chromosome 14
activate
interact together, then the chromosome
activates the replication.
To get a replication, the chromosome 14 notices something different in the RNA and starts replicating it, replicates the anomaly, and the anomaly is not something that the body wants to have.
We don't know where this problem comes
just
from.
You don't know enough to know.
It has to make sense to everybody. So,
well, then we're screwed.
No, quiet, relax. If you're not screwed, have a little faith in something. So look at this channel. The chromosome replicates anything.
Yeah.
Chromosome doesn't know there's a problem.
It does. The RNA doesn't know that's a problem.
Okay,
the
that's
chromosome
right.
Does.
The RNA doesn't know there's a problem.
Right.
The chromosome realizes a problem, what's it do?
It starts taking over.
No. It recognizes the problem. Why does it stop replicating?
The copy machine doesn't know it's a problem. You put a bad.
It does know it's a problem. It just said that it's a copy.
When they take over, when those malignant cells take over, then it won't sustain life. When the cancer cells.
The chromosome knows it's a problem. The RNA lets someone in, just like the White House lets someone into the dinner, and the chromosome knows that's not right. Just like the bad president saw that security guard, hey, get him out of here. That's what the chromosome. The chromosome 14 does, but the RNA doesn't do that. Okay.
Well, the chromosome 14
sees it's a problem. Why doesn't it fucking stop the problem?
It does stop the problem.
By doing what? Just say when it does to stop the problem.
It shifts the actual DNA of the cell itself.
As a protective measure.
Yes, like it'll increase white blood cells.
It makes a maneuver to stop the problem.
Correct.
And that fails.
And finally, once it can't take it over, then you expire from the cancer cells.
The chromosome 14 expires. The chromosome 14 is battling this fucking thing, and it loses every time. That's what you're saying.
No, we're not saying chromosome 14 battles. We're saying chromosome 14 replicates. The battle is in how many cancer cells they are and how many normal cells they are.
You get it, Kim. Chromosome 14 can recognize a problem, right, Kim? Explain to me, Kim, why it doesn't fix the problem at that point.
It's not a point of fixing it. It's a point of copying it.
Is copying going to fix it?
Maybe the word recognizes the problem shouldn't be in there.
Yeah, right. Okay, that's what we're trying to find out, where something, if anything sees the problem. We don't know yet. We haven't figured this out. We don't.
Well, the bot gets us.
Come on, stay with us. I'm patient, you be patient. At this level of questioning, we're not understanding it. So we got to go, the hairspray comes in, RNA passes on because it can't tell any problem. Chromosome recognizes the problem, but you're implying that chromosome 14 can't do anything about it. Just starts making more of it.
It just copies. That's right.
Right.
That's why
who's recognizing the problem in those particulars?
Well, it only shows up when you have more malignant cancer cells than you have healthy cancer cells, and then you expire.
You're jumping way ahead. We're trying to figure out.
What do you mean?
So far, nobody knows there's a problem because everybody's just carrying on as usual. But
I know what it was. Saying chromosome 14 recognizes the problem, that's where I was trying to understand. So chromosome 14 is the only one that recognizes DNA and causes cellular replication.
Good.
Because
it recognizes DNA and then can do its job with DNA.
Yeah, because remember I was asking, well, is chromosome 14 the only one that replicates cells and gives that message?
Is it the only one?
Yeah, and I said it was the only one. So that's what I was talking about. Chromosome 14
right.
is the only one that replicates.
Okay, Kim. Now we got that fact. We know that. So now the hairspray cell shows up. What's the RNA do?
The RNA asks the chromosome 14 to multiply it through the DNA.
It picks it up. It picks up the new thing, the new substance, whatever that is. And then the RNA is added to the mix. So the RNA communicates hairspray in the mix at a cellular, subcellular level.
When you say communicate, you mean it just says, here's something new?
Right. Exactly. exactly.
Yeah, and communicate that to the chromosome.
It goes all the way through to chromosome 14. Chromosome 14 says, oh, we got a new copy, and it picks it up. New thing to copy, and so then it starts copying that, and then that new double helix from chromosome 14 can cause a shift, an anomaly.
That's a new double helix. That's what chromosome always creates, a new double helix.
Not every time. If it's a ring, it doesn't. It can,
okay, but so it creates, I don't know why, but it creates a new double helix, and you can't specify.
If it's arms in chromosome 14, then it makes two double helixes, and that's the only chromosome that does that. Okay, if it's a ring, then it just continues the double helix that is through the rest of the chromosomal chain.
We're just trying to get the flow.
No,
I want to
know
who recognizes there's a problem.
Chromosome 14, because it can
replicate. It just gets the word, hey, RNA says, here's a new guy, replicate it. The chromosome says, okay, I'll replicate it.
Right. And that's a problem when there get so many that the cell can't hold itself.
So the RNA doesn't know that this stranger he's letting through is going to proliferate via the chromosome 14 beyond normal.
Right. It doesn't care.
Why? And the chromosome 14 doesn't know, it just replicates it.
That's correct.
That means that RNA and chromosome 14 cannot stop cancer. They can't recognize
right.
if a stranger got in, and
right.
they replicate it.
That's right. That's right.
So nobody's understanding cancer.
You're precisely correct.
Okay, so now, we got that point. Let's go figure out what the H232 and all this does.
It scrubs the cell.
Which cell? The hairspray cell?
All of them.
Okay. And what did that lead to?
There is no cancer replication anymore because the RNA doesn't pick up the
scrubbing. We need to define that scrubbing is, what is the action that the word scrubbing is? It stops replication.
I thought scrubbing was H302, not the ligated ringers.
Well, that's how you're applying it, isn't it?
Let's find out what scrubbing is first, Carolyn. Is scrubbing stopping replication?
No. It's cleaning up replication.
How does it clean up? How do you know it's cleaning up? What's being resulted by cleaning up?
What's being resulted is you no longer have cancer cells that are being reproduced. You take cancer out of the RNA that's telling you.
So it changes. It doesn't deal with the replication problem. It does something to the cell that is a bad cell.
It won't copy it.
You're saying this substance comes in and takes over from the chromosome 14 and says, get out of here, you're doing a bad job. I'm going to do this, and I'm not going to copy this.
Correct, and it'll do it either by making arms, then make another double helix that bypass this anomaly.
We don't know what it is, but it becomes the chromosome 14 with arms. It substitutes, it replaces the chromosome 14.
It scrubs it, cleans it up. It takes the what you call a negative, if you want to use that word, in RNA, so that there is no cellular cancers created in the body.
And what is it that does this? The lactate ringer?
The whole mix.
Okay,
lactate ringers.
I don't get it clear. I'm trying to find out. Scrubbing is not the right word. It comes in and stops the cancer. And I guess that includes cancer is just excessive replication. So it stops the replication.
Of the what you call malignancy.
The bad cell. It stops the proliferation of the hairspray stuff.
Or any outside or inside anomaly in the breakage.
Okay. So what I'm getting from this is that this substance that Carolyn's injecting into people replaces the RNA chromosome 14 communication, which is fucked up and doesn't know a bad cell.
Good.
So what is it in this substance that has a knowing factor? What makes it a knower?
It doesn't know, it just eliminates the bad communication or telling the body to make cancer.
Wait, that's an important phrase. It eliminates the bad communication between the RNA and the chromosome 14?
Through the DNA, yes.
Okay, so it eliminates it, and that means the chromosome stops pumping out and copying.
The cancer cells.
And the only problem with a cancer cell is it's an excessive replicator. That's what's the problem. It's just excessive replicator.
All cells are replicated.
It's excessive replication. That's all it is.
It's just what tells the body to make cancer cells. And that's what chromosome 14 does.
What tells the body to make cancer cells?
Chromosome 14.
With RNA complicity.
Well, but but chromosome 14 tells the body to make good cells, too.
It does. That's right. It makes any cells. That's right. But RNA gets in information through chromosome 14 to say, okay, breast cancer, make breast cancer cells, and then it shows up there.
A cell is cancerous because all I know is that it's cancerous because too many are made. That's all it is.
Not too many are made. Too much of the cell, if you pick a particular...
Too much of the what? Just what? Is it too much?
Of a cancer cell that they identify in a certain part of the body.
Okay, Carolyn, okay. Are you following me? That the, all cancer cells are just excessive replication.
Right. Something like a hairspray or some anomaly.
Because chromosome 14 can do excessive replication of good stuff.
It does.
Okay, so the excess of replication is not the cancer point. It's the fact that something alien got in there.
Or some anomaly that the body picks up and replicated to a degree that it became out of balance, and then you get throat cancer or breast cancer or blood cancer.
No, something wrong enters the body, and the body doesn't know it's a problem.
That's correct.
That's all it is. So this whole thing about the chromosome is all irrelevant. The secret is to find a substance that stops it. And you can look for a billion years to find the right substance. Well, it turned out we found the substance. And you just introduce that in, and for some strange reason, it stops the replication.
It cleans up the miscommunication from RNA through the DNA of particular chromosome 14 that has three or four different applications that works three or four different ways, and your body doesn't know or care which way it works, whether it's ringed or armed, whether it's through the cleaning up the RNA, the acid that's giving the information to the cell itself to replicate through chromosome 14. That's the only place that you have the opportunity to basically clean it up before you recopy it.
So we got the verb clean up. We're not sure what that means, but the point is that you've got to know that chromosome 14 and RNA are the key communicators of the non-knowing process.
Of all cellular replication.
Right. And they don't know that it's the intimacy between RNA and human chromosome 14.
Correct.
That is the key to everything that's going on. And once you know that's the key, then you got to find a way to simulate the arm-making or ring-making of chromosome 14.
All we're saying is that Carolyn's new concoction will, without fail or exception, clean up.
What is cleaned up? See, the RNA and chromosome 14, as I understand it, don't need to be cleaned up. They're just working great. You just got to come in and have a new guy who knows the situation and stops the effect of the perfect communication with the RNA and chromosome 14, because they're all just keep working. There's no problem.
That's correct. And just like if cancer is introduced and it starts replicating cancer cells, that's no problem. That's how it gets out of hand.
Yeah, it's not a problem. We're bringing in a substance that miraculously recognizes a problem and stops it. Maybe it doesn't recognize it, just stops it.
No, what it does is it separates it through the RNA. So
you said separates it. Separates what?
Whatever that would cause cancer cells.
Okay, separates the bad stuff.
Through the RNA, which is, they don't even know much about.
Okay.
It cleans it up. But when that gets to chromosome 14, if there isn't an issue, it won't copy that cell.
If there isn't an issue, it copies all cells. So why would it not copy this cell?
It takes out the substance before it gets to chromosome 14.
Oh, you mean the RNA gets rid of the bad stuff?
That's right.
What causes it to become this new function, which it doesn't do? What makes it want to get rid of something? Clean it up.
Well, it's not clean it. Well, that's not the right. We didn't.
Right. No, we had it. So we go to another word.
We get a better word, but it's not.
No, it's the function. You're saying that RNA suddenly gets conscious and gets selective.
Mm-hmm.
What makes it get selective?
The Kool-Aid that Carolyn has figured out.
Right, and we don't know why that smartens up.
Yes, we do.
Okay, what's the why?
Well, through H3O2 administered with her other cocktail,
But you would start to say it balances something. RNA balances something.
It balances the communication, so no anomaly is picked up by the RNA.
Okay, it's educated. The public doesn't know that people with weird hair rape everybody. Then they're told, hey, when you see someone with weird hair, they rape people.
That's right.
The substance just informs you, gives it a night school class. Hey, there's no factor you didn't notice. And when you see this, I don't know if you have to see something, but when you know what we're telling you, then you'll stop stuff.
Correct.
And then you wonder why those people knew this. You know, it's like, maybe we can't figure out the beginning point. You know what I mean? There's no.
Well, you can. You can. It's okay. Because it's no different than when you have any anomaly, and then that gets replicated to the point that it becomes so vast that it becomes the mean. Well, when the mean then takes over, then you got a problem, and then you got to deal with it. All this is it's taking advantage at the cellular level before it becomes a great big problem.
Well, what's amazing is this substance, which no one would ever find, but we got help from you, and we found the substance, and it makes the RNA smarter. Makes the RNA notice there's a problem with some stuff.
Well, it ceases replication of cells that don't fit the RNA, which is being introduced into the body.
The RNA that's doing the job? Doesn't the RNA is doing the job? It's not like us.
Well,
you know, RNA goes, this is not like me.
Well,
up to this point, it didn't recognize that something was a problem.
Where now, it recognizes
the problem. We don't know how that happened.
Well, okay.
Why?
Okay. We'll tell you if you just...
No, let me answer the question.
Again and again and again.
Yeah.
Just slow down.
It works.
Here we go. Okay. So now, with the RNA, if RNA only had good information to give to chromosome 14, because it's just going to copy, and RNA doesn't care what it says to copy, and chromosome 14 copies whatever it's told.
The RNA doesn't say what to copy. Is that what you just said?
The RNA doesn't care, and the chromosome 14 copies what it's told.
Whatever it's given.
They both don't care.
That's correct. So this information, or this chemical, or this introduction of a balanced cocktail, if that's what you want to call it, all that does is make clear through the RNA to only replicate the balanced, whole, normal cells that are naturally found within the human body. So nothing outside, or what you'd call outside environmental and or just anomalies within a cell itself.
What makes the hairspray an anomaly?
It's not naturally found in the human body.
Right. So all these industrial products cause cancer.
Everything potentially could cause cancer.
That's where the human will comes in.
No, it's not.
You know, the human interpreter or disease factor comes
in. That happens after you get it replicated and it makes your body in a less than place.
What happens? The human says, something bad happened to me. There's something bad in the world. What is it?
They call Dr. Dean and they say, I can't feel my legs. Or they call and they say, I can't get out of bed. Or they have these.
Well, we don't need to wait now. He called Dr. Dean about the problem. And then they what? Then Carolyn, you have a problem, then they're fucked.
No, then Carolyn takes and listens and gets every symptom and then starts saying, okay, well, when this happens and this happens and this happens, and she starts by process of elimination, everything that could be causality for the symptom, and then you pinpoint it to, okay, you got a big lump in your breast, it may be cancer, or it may be malignant, or it may be benign. Well, if it's what makes it malignant and what makes it benign, well, what makes it the difference is what the RNA told chromosome 14 to reproduce.
We're trying to find out the beginning point. The human didn't get pissed off until it got bad. I understand a human gets a problem in their environment. They somehow feel fucked up. Something rubs them the wrong way. Don't even know how that begins. But they get fixed, and then, you know, Carol,
Yes,
We're talking about an effect within the body, which is a secondary process compared to the original human cognition getting fucked up somehow. Wanting contrast. So that part we're not going to talk about. Would you agree, Ion, that that's the beginning point? The human soul, consciousness, whatever it is, says, I got a problem. Right? That's the beginning point.
Mm-hmm.
In the inner kingdom?
Sure.
In the inner kingdom, and looks around for the problem source in the outer kingdom? Does that dynamic come into this?
Comes up in the middle kingdom as a symptom.
Is it only in the inner kingdom that disease starts?
No, we can't say that because it could be radiation poisoning from the outer kingdom.
So you can be, do, have whatever you want, except radiation. That will do you, and you can't overcome that.
Yes, you can.
Okay, so that doesn't apply. It could be radiation. For some reason, you believe that that could.
But that's outer kingdom.
All right, so there's outer kingdom and inner kingdom. All right. So, Carol, there's that nebulous beginning point, you see what I'm saying, in human setup.
Mm-hmm.
Then the result of that is that the RNA doesn't know there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And the bad feeling plays, which becomes the DNA, I don't know how it becomes something, that gets in and passes through the RNA chromosome 14 communication. And then you got a problem. And replicates the problem. For some reason, the substance that Carol's got together, the cocktail, doesn't have to go to the nebulous human consciousness that had a problem. It's going to do the secondary material level and fix that up.
It eliminates the bad communication.
Remember Walter Fishman, Carol talked about the communication between cells that Mirror dealt with?
Mm.
That was a new thing. Remember the communication factor? Most people didn't think that way, did they? I mean, the thing here is no one knows about the importance of RNA or the importance of chromosome 14, let alone knowing that that communication between the two is the key.
Exactly.
They don't know anything about that. They don't even know what we're talking about or why it's significant.
Exactly. So then it was very, very interesting that they would hide that in the Mir patents.
Okay, so that's another issue. Carolyn, are you puzzled? Do you puzzle about how this weird substance, the cocktail, somehow makes the RNA recognize, get smarter, recognize that there is a bad thing coming in, and you better be on the lookout for it?
Yes.
You're not puzzled by why that the cocktail does that?
No, because I guess knowing the angstrom nature and what I laid out in my hypothesis is if the cells are, you know, all happy, then the RNA is going to recognize sooner when it's going to...
RNA never recognizes.
It does.
After this substance is introduced.
Right.
Okay, then let's take this exact thing.
Let's just take that point. Are we taking it?
No, Bob, we're going to do this.
At the point where...
We're going to do this.
How the RNA recognizes it.
We're going to do this.
If it's going to answer that question, I accept it.
No.
We're going to go on to another tangent.
No, we're not. We're going to ask a question so you can have a new way to wrap around this that'll help. Okay? How does a body live with everything that's in its environment and not have cancer?
That's what I was questioning about. We don't know how the human cognition starts to get itself screwed up and have a problem with its environment.
Okay, and here's how that is. When the human, individual human, has information, the RNA picks up that information, sends it to chromosome 14, and chromosome 14 says fine and copies it. See, before there was cancer, no one died of cancer.
I know.
Well, you know, okay, well, that
doesn't connect to what we're...
What do you mean it doesn't connect? It's exactly what this information. That's what RNA delivers.
Well, the information, you're suggesting that the information is something that comes into human cognition that's propaganda for something.
Okay, but then it becomes a creation. And the RNA delivers the information. Chromosome 14 takes that and puts it in the cell itself, and then it becomes a cancer cell. Now, it can be a malignant cancer cell or a benign cancer.
Well, we'd have to go into what kind of information.
All information.
Yeah, they make something in the being, in the doubleness of the two conversations, that decides, I don't like that information. Or that
right. It's just like any thought. It's sieved in the mind. But Carolyn wanted the medical side of how to convince Gemma that this is the best thing.
I'm not dealing with the mystery of how something someone experiences causes a dissonance in the person. I don't know why that happens. Okay.
That's the human condition. You're a marvelous creator, and you can create.
Yeah, so we create. So the imagination creates a problem for the body.
Imagination tells the RNA to give a message.
That any bad information that imagination injects into the body, RNA and chromosome 14 are useless in dealing with it. And for some miracle reason, this substance, the cocktail, makes them smarter.
No, it doesn't. It just eliminates anything that would cause a cell to replicate in a malignant format.
So it breaks the Xerox machine.
That's correct. Anything that's going to make a bad copy.
Yeah, so this is important. The RNA and the chromosome 14 don't get smarter. Somebody comes in and busts the fucking machine because it's just going on, and those two guys are drunk and producing all this stuff, and they don't know there's a problem. So how come this substance, how does it do that? What makes it break something? I mean, what's the magic in it?
We told you, the combination with lactated ringers, H3O2, the angstrom level of magnesium, and the other things that Carolyn played on in her.
The magical cocktail. Just say the magical cocktail.
The magical
somehow
cocktail.
It knows what to break.
Does it know what to make? It just basically...
It just does. It just happens to have an arm that lashes out and breaks the right machine. It's an accidental effect.
Yeah.
Got that. It's an accidental effect, Carolyn. I understand. It's like...
We don't think
it's... No, it's like you send me in... And because I talk about McLuhan, I go into a crowd, it turns out that crowd will respond to McLuhan and get all excited for some reason. I just had to be the guy who can say it. You're saying this cocktail goes in and magically stops the machine because it has a chemical makeup that it will go to the part that needs to be broken and just serendipitously break it because that's what it does.
Yeah,
that cocktail.
Okay. Now, let's say you're cleaning up the kitchen, Bob, and there's pots or pans or dishes, and you're washing them up. You could do that with just water, or you could add a soap or detergent, correct? What the detergent does is it helps break down the problem, which is that the pot's dirty. And the soap helps break that away from hooking on to the pot. It's stuck to the pot. Well, the soap that you add helps to break away that cancer off of that pot. Or the dirt.
Yeah,
part.
It just happens that kind of chemical combination breaks up the dirt. Now, you got this magic cocktail. It just happens
to get the dirt out of the pot.
Yeah, it stops the bad replication. Okay,
it flushes it away.
A whole other issue about that happens. This cocktail is red, and it goes into a pudding of purple and black because the black is an extra uncontrolled thing that's going on, and it somehow eliminates the black. The red... solution eliminates the black, and then you're okay. We don't know why red eliminates black.
Okay, but it would be easier to say, like if you were trying to create the color green, if you mix two colors, you don't know why that makes it green.
Right.
The pigmentation or the combination makes a new substance, a new color.
And we don't know why. That's like we don't know why we're breathing. We don't know why we even exist.
Yes, but if you knew the formulary to make green, then great. And so once you get that, then you go, oh, well, hell, you just mix this and this. And
Right. See, that's what I meant when I said humans for, say, 500 years of cancer have looked for how to make green.
It's not that old, but yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Whatever it's been, 20 years. They said, well, they didn't know what. They just started mixing colors to get green, and it never got green. And then out of the blue, Ion Telcare mix these two, and it works.
Yep, and then you got that. Then all of a sudden, it becomes the standard. And then, see, here you go. Now, we want you to have it explicitly, but it will work better if you don't give the individual humans all these particulars, all these bill of particulars.
All these questions Bob had, that's what you're referring to, but bill of particulars.
Yeah. It's good to know that, but that's not what you tell. If Bo ends up with cancer, okay, and Bo comes for the treatment, if Bo didn't know all of these details that we just went through right here, it will be easier for his normal body to pick it up in his RNA, which doesn't know, in his DNA or chromosome 14, which doesn't care, to pick it up and say,
well, I don't know why this works, but it works, and so it works for me.
But if it had some theories and information, that would be the
then point. They could question and wrangle it around, and it's what
okay,
works.
We got that. That's what we don't. Good. If you're a victim, don't want to know anything about it. Just hope you, the doctor knows what
the
you're
same
doing.
Way how you catch cancer. The less you know about it, the harder it is.
The less you respond to information. It's only information
that
causes it. Okay, so, Carol, we're going into this so that you can explain to guys who couldn't help anybody but need to be able to understand it or renew you. You know what I mean? That's what we're finding out the mechanics. For those guys, it's like you have this hospital. Karen comes to work and she's going to treat everybody in her place. But every day there's a fucking bunch of people there and they won't let her in unless she can explain to their satisfaction what she's going to do in there. So she explains it to them. They accept it. Or they say, or they get muddled by it and they go away. Then she goes in and doesn't say a word about it to Bo and just treats them.
Mm-hmm. You can have great fun with this once it gets approved. Basically, the foundations are laid out. You can take the Patrick Swayzes who don't have a prayer and apply this treatment to them, and then 6 weeks later, they're all cancer free. Not in remission, cancer free. Then, by God, they'll be having a different conversation.
Yeah, I mean, you've solved the problem. And the point is, we never knew what we were doing, and I had to mix these things, and it works. And they'll ask Carol Barbosa, how does that happen? Carol make up a bunch of these patterns are working out.
Carol would say, well, since y'all ran me out of my world, I had plenty of time to contemplate it, and it worked for me.
Right. Yeah, no, that's true. But they'll say, how's it work? She'll give a few words, what we're just laid out right now, and they'll go, oh, that sounds intelligent. And they'll accept it. You know what I mean? But the real truth is she didn't know anything, and there's still, on the mystery level, no.
They don't advise her either, Bob.
I know. Okay, no, I agree. It's just one mixture fighting another mixture.
And this is even easier.
Is this interesting to you, Carol, what we're learning?
Sure.
Yeah, good.
Well, it's spot on because it solves the issues that oncology can't seem to reach.
And without me going into all what they're thinking with, they're not emphasizing chromosome 14 RNA. They're over there thinking whatever the other words are.
They're poisoning the body and making contrast in the body to make the body fight the created replicating cancer cells. That's what they're doing. They're putting poison, chemotherapy, killing the immune system, adding poison mustard to kill the body, and that way those cancer cells
have nothing to eat.
Are passed away.
Now kill the patient.
Kill the patient, yeah. That's right. It makes contrast in the body, and if the body wants to hang around, it'll push against, give it attention, and the attention, you're so sick you want to die, so then you really, really, really got to want to live. If you can live through the chemotherapy, many times the cancer is not near as bad as the treatment.
But you can survive that, and that's the only reason you survive, not because of the chemotherapy.
That's correct. It's
a will.
It's a contrast.
Well, what's
now,
the con-
okay,
Carol. No, what's the con? I say it's the will, and you go, it's the contrast. It's the battle.
The poison causes contrast in the body, and then the body has to respond to overcome the poison.
Yeah.
So if you can live through the mustard chemotherapy, the cancer's a piece of cake.
The body is forced to fight. That's what you mean. The word body refers to will and the human cognition that says, I'm going to beat this.
Great.
So the interesting thing is you got these guys who have thought themselves into justifying through previous false premises of knowledge. They think they're doing the right thing.
That's the same. The blood letters, when you went to the barber with your foe, they thought they were getting rid of bad blood, so they drain you.
Right.
Well,
so you had this.
They thought cancer, they were right, too.
Right. When cancer is cured, human perversity will create a new disease, and a bunch of guys who will want to be part of that scene will come up with theories, and that will become the accepted mean about this ridiculous thing that humans are going to create anyway.
Now, here's a new dynamic. If you just didn't think you had enough, guess what else this is going to deal with? Heavy metal accumulating in the body tissue cells. Those heavy metals aren't assimilated in the cellular structure. They are mixed in it.
Wow.
The half-life of heavy metal, all the way to strontium, which is the one they can't help you with.
It'll help you with that?
It will encapsulate it and naturally
eliminate it through the body.
Okay.
They do.
The interesting thing is that Carolyn has touched on different aspects of healing
mm-hmm.
that this substance now does. But they all fail. They're limited. But she touched on all these different aspects over 20 years. It's like touching those things. Whatever you touch, Carolyn, whatever problem, and thought you had a solution, because you touched this variety of stuff, this final solution, this green, cures everything that you touched. So you had to go around touching everything for 30 years. Anything that Carolyn touches, any area of concern, will be dealt with by the substance she will create.
Well, of course.
Okay, well, I thought that was an interesting perspective on your life, Carolyn.
Very good, yeah. To look at the H302 component, get some words for that, understand that more, look into that more, I'll write some words, and then I'll go over it again with Ion.
That will be within her patent, but not within her paper.
Mm-hmm. When does she start patenting? Is that soon?
Yes, she should file a patent for her formulary.
Once she's got the paper written, which is a statement of understanding of it, then she knows how to patent it.
Sure.
Okay,
file it, and it can be, you know, a work in progress. You know how to do that.
Patent pending.